At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a number game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo Slinging Game Plus. Skill Alexander. How you doing, Jason? You good?
Good morning, Gil. How are you?
I'm good. You know, not a great contest weekend, not a great ATS weekend, but Survivor gets through, and it's a short-lived celebration on that.
But it was pretty rocking, Cherry. You had the one Survivor pick, I think, that
Chargers,
that was that was not stressful.
But 3 days from now is Thanksgiving, and so as I've said from the beginning, it's all great planning till Thanksgiving, and then it's all great planning after that, but Thanksgiving itself, total wing and a prayer. We'll get to that. We'll get to everything that happened in the NFL yesterday. This is Guessing Lines for Week 12. Tribute to the old Stardust radio show. Let's bring in the star of the show. He runs the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook here. The director of that sportsbook, at Andrews Sports, is where you can find him on Twitter. The author of Then One Day. It's my mishpucha, Chrissy Andrews. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great, Gil. How are you?
I'm doing well. You had a good weekend from a books perspective, did you?
We had a pretty good Saturday, and we had a great Sunday. I can't deny that. Yeah, great Sunday.
Well, good for you, he says derisively. Good for you.
I always say, never cry for the bookmaker. Oh, no, we'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
We will hardly do that. All right, we'll get into everything from yesterday. We'll get into everything moving forward. We'll get into everything from yesterday as we discuss what's going on. For those just landing on this show for the first time, I have what I typically do is I get in a cocoon. I don't know any of the lines. I guess what I think they will be. Chrissy tells us what he's going to post at the end of the show, and within that exercise, we extract value. But Chris, let me start today by saying I kind of know about the three Thanksgiving games because of the Circa Survivor contest, right? Everybody's been talking about it for a week. So I kind of know that these are around pick'ems, but I'll tell you kind of exactly where I think they'll be. But just so everybody knows, for these three games, I kind of already have a sense. Let us begin with the first of the three Thanksgiving games, sir.
And what a horrible game this is, really. Jeez, to start Thanksgiving. Houston at Detroit.
Yeah, and Houston was the one that got me the most last week. Remember a week ago, I was like, how is Houston a pick'em or favored when we did this Monday morning? And it only took less than 24 hours for it to come to my guess of New England minus 2.5. But in the end, Houston wins it outright, 27-20. Beat the Patriots. Deshaun Watson, 18 of 23 for 241, two touchdowns, 5 for 33 on the ground, and a touchdown run where he just destroyed a couple Patriots defenders. By the way, those were his first half stats. Pardon me. 18 for 23 for 241 for two touchdowns, 5 for 33 for a touchdown in the first half. Houston had a season-high 274 yards in the first half. All but three of those yards came from Watson himself. as he threw for 241 and added the 30 rushing. For the game, 28 for 37, 344, two touchdowns, no picks, wasn't sacked. Now, him not being sacked is news. Six carries for 36 in that touchdown. First win of the season for the Texans against a team other than Jacksonville. Or in Romeo Crennel, a rare victory by a former Belichick assistant against his former boss. Texans' NFL worst run defense held the Patriots to 86 yards rushing after they entered the game averaging 161.1 yards a game. Randall Cobb did get injured a foot on the touchdown, didn't return. Kenny Stills injured a leg in the first half, didn't return. Then there's Detroit. Detroit gets blanked by Carolina, 20-0. Stafford was 18 for 33, 178, no touchdowns, no picks, sacked five times. Played despite a thumb injury that prevented him from taking a snap under center all week. They were without, the Lions were, DeAndre Swift, Kenny Galladay, and Danny Amendola. They only had 10 first downs, Chris. They were only 3 of 14 on third downs, 1 of 3 on fourth. Carolina's D, which was allowing opponents to convert a season-high 55.3% of third down opportunities, crushed them on third downs. Again, 3 for 14. Only 185 total yards, only 40 yards rushing for the Lions, outpossessed by Carolina, 36-48 to 23-12. Blanked for the first time since October 18th, 2009, Stafford's rookie season, though he didn't play in that game. So, listen, you know how I am about Houston in this market. I tend to underrate them every week. So I would have had this, despite everything that happened yesterday, I would have this game as a pick 'em, but I'm going to guess Houston is about a point and a half favorite. And before you go, because we got to hit the station ID here, Jason is waving at me. Let's just say that on the this is the first of three games one is going to have to navigate for Survivor, and God help us all. It's Gil Alexander. It's Chris Andrews. This is Guessing Lines for Week 12 in the National Football League. So I'll say Houston minus 1.5.
Okay, first one of the day. Gil, I like your number better. It's more like 2.5. I see a lot of 2.5 with juice on the favorite. I see 1-3, juice on the dog. First of all, let me just say this, a couple things. First of all, my power ratings are just a place to start, number one. Number two, I'm not giving anybody anything for home field, even though home field kind of showed up yesterday. My power ratings come to 1.5. However, you know, the Lions look so inept on offense. I mean, that's one of the worst I've seen all year. And I mean, they got shut out, you know, by a team that's not that great on defense. So like I said, my power ratings come to 1.5, I am going to open this 2.5. But I'd be, very, very, very careful. You know, there's one of these trends systems that I look at. I mean, not many of them, because most of them I think are data mining. But the one that I do look at is when you go from a home dog to a road favorite. That second game, the road favorite, very, very rarely covers. Now, not never. It's in the high 60s, like about 68% if you bet against. So I'm leery about that. You know, Stafford played the whole game, but his thumb was hurting, and he didn't have any help on offense at all. Defense played okay, I guess. So I am going to open 2.5. I think the public will be on the Texans, and I'd tread very, very carefully here.
Yeah, and like I said, Chris, like I only make it 1.5 because I figure recency will make it 1.5. But to me, this is just a straight pick 'em.
I agree.
Again, they were without Swift, Galladay, and Amendola yesterday. So that matters. Obviously, we'll check on their status as the Thursday game approaches, all three of those guys. Washington at Dallas is the second one. I know this because it's always that, and this is the greatest rivalry in sports. So you don't even have to tell me that this is the next one. I know that this is the next one. Washington beat Cincinnati yesterday. Obviously, the big headline there is that Joe Burrow, ACL, out for the year, gruesome injury. They freeze framed it on Red Zone yesterday, and it was like, stop.
Did they?
Please take this off the screen. It was brutal.
Lord.
Poor Joe Burrow. It was awful. But Washington wins. Alex Smith, speaking of, gruesome leg injuries, he certainly knows about that. 17 for 25, 166, one touchdown, one pick, sacked twice. Terry McLaurin, as always, filling up a stat sheet, 5 for 84. Dallas breaking a four-game losing streak, beating Minnesota. Dalton, 22 of 32 for 203, three touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked once. And Zeke, with his first 100-yard rushing game of the season, took 11 weeks. He had 21 carries for 103 yards. Washington at Dallas. I'll say Dallas minus 2.5.
You're right on. It is 2.5. I see some 2.5 juice on the favorite. I see maybe a couple threes juice on the dog. My power ratings, once again, I came to 1, but I think I have to look at this a little more closely. I said from the beginning, I think Andy Dalton will do really well in this offense. You know, and I mean, yeah, they're going to miss Dak Prescott for sure. But Andy Dalton, I think, will be able to distribute the ball to, you know, what is some pretty good offensive talent. Now, their defense is still horrible. He's not going to do anything to help their defense, except maybe keep them off the field a little bit and have them in better field position over the course of the game. But I think Andy Dalton is pretty good here and in a good spot with his team if he stays healthy, and there's no reason to think he's not going to. So I am opening 2.5. I said my power ratings come a little lower, but I'm going to have to look at them again because I think Dalton does elevate this team probably a little bit more than I gave him credit for, which I'd already given him quite a bit of credit. So I think 2.5 is a good place to start here.
Yeah, I think that's probably where it should be. But once again, for survivor purposes, complete wing and a prayer. Complete prayer. The winner of this game, assuming there's a winner and not a tie, the winner of this game, by the way, ties would eliminate both survivor side, but the winner of this game, if there is a winner, will lead the NFC East at least temporarily for at least 3 days at 4-7. How about that? All right, the third game on Thanksgiving, and again, for those who missed the opener, I kind of know, again, because of all the survivor talk last week, where these lines are generally for the Thanksgiving games. Third one is
Ravens at the Steelers.
Now, this has the potential, and I do mean potential, to be the best game on Thanksgiving. But after the Ravens yesterday, who knows? Baltimore loses to Tennessee, about the only thing I got right from an ATS perspective yesterday. Lose to Tennessee 30-24 in overtime. Lamar Jackson, 17 of 29 for 186. One touchdown, one pick, sack once. 13 carries for 51 on the ground. Baltimore was good on third downs. They were 9 of 15. But they trailed, Tennessee rather, trailed 21-10 early in the third quarter and 21-16 late in regulation before launching a 90-yard drive, which was all about Derrick Henry and some nice throws from Ryan Tannehill mixed in between. On third down from the Baltimore 14, A.J. Brown caught a short pass on the right side, broke four tackles before scoring while standing up with 2:18 left. Just an unbelievable play by Brown. Tannehill then ran in the conversion. It was 24-21. Lamar drives the Ravens to the 10 before Tucker kicks a 29-yarder with 15 seconds left to force overtime. And then Henry, 29-yard scamper with 5:21 left in overtime to cap the victory again, 30-24. Pittsburgh 10-0, first time in franchise history. And don't you know it, Chrissy, as a guy who grew up on the Steelers. Big Ben was 32 of 46 yesterday in the Steelers win against Jacksonville, 27-3 win, easily covering the 10.5-point closing line. He was 32 of 46 for 267, two touchdowns, one pick, no sacks. But I will tell you this, watching as much of this game as I did, Big Ben had about 5 jaw-dropping passes that were just unbelievably placed. I have never seen this guy play better than he is right now. Deontay Johnson, 12 for 111. That was his primary target. Though Claypool got another score in there. Plus 3 in turnovers. The Steelers were in that game. That's usually all you need to know. 4 turnovers for Jacksonville. I believe it was all 4 Jake Luton picks. It was indeed. 36-29 to 23-31 in time of possession over Jacksonville. Juju appeared to tweak his foot, though, while stepping on an official's yellow flag. Did you see that when he was running off the field? Sort of jogging off the field in the fourth quarter. That was weird. Had never seen that before. So we'll check on that through the week. But it's Baltimore at Pittsburgh, and I'll just say it's Pittsburgh minus 3, figuring that after yesterday, that's probably where it's locked in.
Well, that's been where it's been locked in for years when these two teams face each other. There's been a couple of aberrations, certainly. Once again, I see 3.5. And I don't like your number better in this case. In fact, my power ratings come to 4.5 in this game. I'm not sure where the public's going to go here, because I know a lot of guys, it's an automatic take when these two teams play and it's anything over 3. But I got to tell you, look, 4 of the last 5 games, the Patriots have not played well. Now, they have a win in there. Who did they beat? They beat somebody bad.
You mean Baltimore?
Oh, they beat the Eagles. Yeah. Baltimore. They beat the Eagles 30-28, so I don't give them too much credit for that. Other than that, yeah, so they beat the Eagles, you know, lost to the Steelers, beat the Colts, which was a good game, very good performance. Lost to the Patriots, lost to the Titans. I mean, right now, I think this team is dropping. I think people maybe figured out Jackson, as good as a player he is, they figured out the offense and what those guys are trying to do. Harbaugh. I've sung his praises ever since we've been on this show, Gil. But it was just kind of a weird thing with after the game, he wouldn't shake hands. There's just some weird stuff going on right now with this team, and I think they're coming into a situation, just not in a good spot. I like the Steelers here, and I know all my biases and all that, but I'm telling you, I keep my power ratings as unbiased as possible. And they come to 4.5, and I think that's a more legitimate number. I like the Steelers here. I'll open 3.5 because I see it 3.5 with juice on the dog. I see a couple of 3s juice on the favorite. So they'll probably take the 3.5 off me, at least initially.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling come Thursday night, I'm probably going to need the Ravens, because I think the public will come back in on the Steelers.
You have a good sense of that kind of stuff. You would know. The tension between Vrabel and Harbaugh, I guess, started before the game.
Yeah.
When the Titans, I guess, had a sort of impromptu, or maybe it wasn't so impromptu, meeting on the center of the field. And I guess Harbaugh objected to that, and that's where the words started, even before the game started. I didn't know that he refused to shake his hand at the end of the game. So do you agree with me, by the way, about Big Ben? Like, there are some passes he throws, like third down conversions to the sidelines, let alone the touchdown passes. But some of those third down conversions, there is one spot you can put that football, and he's so good that we take it for granted, and the announcers don't even react to it. I'm like, you know how difficult that pass was right there? I've never seen him play better than this.
Accuracy is super important. Processing, I think, is really important. And right now, I'd put him in there with Rodgers, Mahomes, as far as processing quickly and delivering the ball with accuracy. And if you could do that consistently in the NFL, you have a hell of an offense. I'm still a little worried about their running game. I don't think it's very good. The defense, I think, looks fantastic. But, I mean, right now, this is a really, really good team with a lot of balance. Like I said, other than the running game, I mean, their offense relies on Big Ben. But, so far, so good as far as that goes. And I think their defense is really just terrific. And, I think they deserve to be more than a 3.5-point favorite in this spot. So I do like the Steelers here.
Hey, Chris, what do you think about Big Ben for MVP?
He's got a ticket, Chris. He asks every week.
I know he does. And listen, how can he not be in the conversation?
Thank you.
I mean, I don't know who's going to win it. He has to be in the conversation. Absolutely. I mean, his team's 10-0, and he's playing fantastic. And, I don't know. Who all's above him?
Oh, Mahomes.
Mahomes and Rodgers. I would say it's a three-person
Mahomes
conversation.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's more a Tomlin award.
I mentioned those two.
Yeah, I think it's more a Mike Tomlin thing the further they go. By the way, do you think, last thing about the Steelers, because we have there's a prop in some spots, will they go 16-0? Do you think they will care about that late in the season if they have a cushion? Let's say they're 2 games clear of Kansas City, which is a big if, but let's just say they are, and they got nothing to play for. Do you think they'll care about 16-0, knowing what you know about these guys?
Yeah, I think they'll care about it.
Oh, okay.
I think they care more about the bye.
Sure.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Let's do one on Sunday, Chris.
Listen, these guys are super competitive, man. And, because first of all, what's that 16th game? It's against Cleveland.
Yeah.
You think they're going to be up for that to beat Cleveland to be 16-0? they would love it.
Could be a knockout game. It potentially knock out Cleveland. That's a possible scenario as well. But, but right now, as long as the Chiefs are one game back, though, you know, everything counts. Let's do one on Sunday real quick, Chris. Just stay on schedule here. Now we're flying
okay,
blind.
By the way, before we go any further, Baltimore right now would be out of the playoffs. That's how low they've sunk.
Jeez, that's
they'd
right.
They'd lose the tiebreakers. Okay, here's another good game. Raiders at the Falcons.
Raiders last night, man. Derek Carr and the Raiders looked really good against the Chiefs for the second time. Obviously won the first time. Yesterday did not quite get the win, lost 35-31. But absolutely could have won this football game if Patrick Mahomes wasn't a cheat code. Complete cheat code, this guy. Mahomes throwing a 22-yard touchdown pass to Travis Kelce, 28 seconds to play. Chiefs avenging their only loss of the season. They only needed 75 seconds to go 75 yards for another score, with Mahomes going 6 of 7 on the drive, for that last score, I should say, with Mahomes going 6 of 7 on the drive. But Derek Carr was 23 of 31 for 275, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. He wasn't sacked. And the Raiders played without starters Corey Littleton and Cleveland Farrell. And then there's Atlanta. Atlanta gets crushed by New Orleans, who had Taysom Hill at quarterback. Matt Ryan was just, it was just a dreadful game for them. They were Ryan was 19 of 37 for 232, no touchdowns, 2 picks. He was sacked 8 times, 8. 3 of which were from Cameron Jordan, by Cameron Jordan. They were 2 of 14 on third downs with the Falcons, 2 of 3 on fourth. But 248 total yards, that's it, against New Orleans. Only 52 rushing. I'll say the Raiders minus 3.5.
Yeah, that's exactly what my power ratings come to, but the number is 3. And in this case, I like the 3 better. Once again, we have another one of these situations. I think there's only 2 this week. You go from a road, a home underdog to a road favorite. That's the Raiders. So, like I said, there's not too many of those trends that I buy into. I think most of them are a bunch of crap. But that's one that I do look at. And over the years, it's a high percentage. So that's the Raiders go from home dog, road favorite. You know, I think Atlanta above the 3. I would take Atlanta above the 3. But I'm going to open at 3. And that's pretty much what I see everywhere.
You know, despite that extra hook, I'm not exactly running to the counter to bet the Falcons. I'll be honest.
Raiders are 7-3 against the spread.
Raiders 7-3 against the spread, for those who believe in such things. It's all brought to you by BetMGM Sports.
By the way, Bill.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was going to interrupt real quick. Derek Carr had the highest QBR in the league over the weekend, 95.1.
He was awesome. And by the way, there's a couple dropped passes. Yeah. Could have gone even better for the Raiders yesterday. All right. Give me a game here. I'll do the review here, and we'll get your I'll give you my guess, and then we'll go to break. What's next here?
Cardinals at the Patriots.
Cardinals at the Patriots. Oh, my. Kyler Murray and the Cardinals will have extra rest here off their Thursday night loss to the Seahawks. Again, very strange sequence at the end of that game on Thursday night, where the Cardinals matriculated the ball down the field and then with plenty of time just decided to keep heaving it into the end zone. Kyler Murray was 29 of 42 with 269, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 3 times. They had 10 penalties for 115 in that game. They lose by a touchdown. Could have tried to tie it there at the end, but again, a very strange sequence at the end. And then New England, as we already discussed, lose to Houston. Cam was 26 of 40 for 365, 1 touchdown, no picks. He was sacked twice. Bird was his number one target, 6 for 132 and a touchdown. First time since 2009 with that loss that the Patriots will have at least 6 losses in a regular season. And that season win total of under 9.5, right on the cusp of being graded a winner, or at least cashing as a winner, being graded at the end of the season. Arizona at New England. I'll say Arizona -4 as we go to break. Chrissy will tell me what he's going to post. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. All right, Arizona at New England. I said Arizona -4, Chris.
Gilly.
Yes.
Okay, Felica's going to cash another bet. I like your number better. I was just looking at college basketball, excuse me. So hang on, I got to get back to my football. Huge schedule on Wednesday, by the way.
Massive.
Huge schedule.
Yes.
So, yeah, so that VSiN product, you can't live without that to start the season. Okay, I'm sorry. Nothing to plug there. Okay, the Cardinals at the Patriots. What you said? What, Gil?
I said -4.
Four.
Yeah.
Okay, my power ratings come to 4.5. The number out there is 2.5.
Wow.
With I don't see any threes, but 2.5 with some modest juice on a favorite, you know, like $1.15. I even see $1.20.
2.5.
Between 15 and 20. Yeah, I mean, this game has just dropped quite a bit. And the Cardinals, listen, you know as well as anyone, I was very slow to come around on this team. You know, the quarterback and coach both. This is a team that's really playing well. And, I mean, this is a very legitimate team. And a New England team that's, you know, I know they're dropping like a rock. And I know we have the Belichick factor. And I think, you know, for handicappers, it actually could be counterproductive. Because you're looking at the past more than you're looking at the now. And the now is this team is not very good. And I think I'm going to probably open 3, take a bet, which, you know, won't take long. Like Roxy always says, move a game from 2.5 to 3 and see what kind of action you create. But I think I'm going to open 3 and take a bet. And I think by the end of the week, I'll be back to 3.
3 Cardinals or 3 Patriots? I'm sorry. Like, I'm looking, who's favored?
He means the Cardinals.
Cardinals are favored by 3, sorry.
Cardinals. Yeah. Cardinals are right here, yeah.
I'm surprised.
My numbers come to 4.5, so.
I'm surprised that there's stuff south of 3 out there. I really am. But.
Yeah, I don't think it'll last long.
Yeah, okay. What's next?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
The first place, they're in second place. I'm sorry. Second place, New York Giants against the Bengals.
By the way, everybody's playing this week, right? Thanksgiving, usually everybody plays. Giants.
We have a full week.
Yes,
no buys.
Yeah.
Giants at Bengals. How many late games do we have, Jason? Mm-hmm. How many afternoon games?
It's 3 afternoon games, but we've got the 3 on Thursday. So yeah.
Okay. Giants at Bengals. Oh, boy. Well, you know, again, if you got by Thanksgiving for survivor purposes, the Bengals might have been an interesting contrarian sort of survivor play. No longer. Joe Burrow out of the game yesterday, as we mentioned, with Washington. And it was just everybody around football. Just, poor Joe Burrow. It's just, he was good about it, though. He tweeted, "Thanks for all the love. Can't get rid of me that easy. See you next year." So he knew immediately it was serious, and it was, based on the pictures. Leg got contorted. Jonathan Allen, another skin was in there. One guy on top, one guy on the bottom. Burrow was 22 of 34 for 203. One touchdown, one pick. He was not sacked until that one. I guess that was, I guess he got rid of the ball. Was that why that wasn't a sack? Ryan Finley came in 3 of 10 for 30. Couldn't have been worse. No touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked 4 times. The Bengals were only 3 of 13 on third downs. They were 0 for 2 on fourth. And the Giants had a bye. So Giants, as you mentioned, like with Washington and Dallas, just a half game behind Philadelphia in the NFC East. And again, you do not want to win this division. You'll end up with, at best, the 19th pick in the draft, as opposed to what will probably be a top 10-er. But the Giants now with this injury, I guess, will be like, they'll be more than a 3-point favorite, I think. Won't they be like a 4-point favorite here?
It's more like 5.5 and 6.
Wow.
I see a couple 4.5s. I see actually only 1.6, but then, you know, at Chris, so big store. 4.5, 5.5, 5, 6. I lowered my power rating on the Bengals. I think I lowered them 4.5 points. It's Finley. I mean, he hasn't played much. When he has played, he hasn't played that well. His college numbers are like okay. But I don't think this kid's an NFL starting quarterback. The Giants are playing well. They're playing better and better. Now, I think from early in the season, the Giants would be a 6-point road favorite over anybody. It was just, you know, somebody would lock you up. But that's what my numbers come to. And I do see 6, like I said, at Chris. And I'm going to open 6. I just don't know how low to adjust the Bengals, because I think Burrow was terrific. I really do. And his numbers aren't fantastic, but this kid's going to be a legit quarterback. I hope this injury isn't too bad. That would be the only thing stopping him.
I think
this kid is very, very good.
He was by any measure having a spectacular rookie season, but they didn't protect him. A shoddy offensive line. Yeah. And, you know, this is hardly, I mean, look, did you expect someone to tear their ACL in a horrible injury? No. But could you have expected him to get injured in some way? Yeah, I mean, based on how many dropbacks, I mean, they're going nowhere, and they just wanted to throw the ball around the yard behind a shoddy offensive line all season long. So you kind of knew that something like this could happen, and it finally did. By the way, Ryan Finley, of course, will get a week to prepare. But to your point about the Giants, you know, if you really like dissect their games, they gave the Steelers a fight week 1 before Daniel Jones had a couple killer turnovers. They held the Rams to 17 in a road game. They lost to Dak and the Cowboys by 3. They lost to Philly by 1 in a game they should have won. Lost to Tampa by 2 right there. They might be the best team in the NFC East. I hate to say it. They really might be, because the Eagles are chronic, you know, letter downers. Every week that lets you down.
Yeah.
Most overrated team in the NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles.
I said to Matt Brown, and I'm not poking at Matt Brown because I felt the same way, even though I didn't play it, because he liked the case for Philadelphia this week. And I did say to him, at least I'm so glad I brought it up. I go, if the Eagles don't win here, and we'll get to the Eagles in a minute, will this be the proverbial, I will never bet on this team again kind of thing? And that's, I think, where they stand right now. But anyway, Giants, what are you putting it up at, Chris? Against the Bengals?
I'm an open 6.
God.
I'm an open 6.
We're halfway through these games, if my count is right. Or no, we're not quite halfway. We're 6 through. I don't like anything yet but Arizona, because I am not rushing to bet the Bengals here either. We'll come back. More guessing lines. Week 12 and a look back to week 11. Coming back right here on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Looking up at the screens here. The American Music Awards were on last night, Jason.
Apparently.
I used to just love those award shows as a kid. I didn't know. Are they still relevant? Do people still watch these shows now?
I don't know. The American Music Awards just seems like a contrived award ceremony to me. The Grammys at least make sense, right? I don't know what the American Music Awards is.
I don't know. I kind of associated the American Music Awards as the Golden Globes and the Grammys as the Oscars. And I think the more casual one is.
Who votes for the American Music? I don't even know what it is.
I don't know. I will say this about NFL awards. I think yesterday kind of solidified a bunch of them.
Roethlisberger for MVP, right?
Okay, stop it.
Sorry.
I think Patrick Mahomes is your leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah, I agree.
And everybody saw it on national TV again. Like, I'll say it again. My buddy, he's the cheat code. He's so good. He's so much better than everybody out there.
Was never really a doubt that he was going to come back yesterday, but apparently it was his first time throwing a game-winning touchdown with less than 2 minutes left in a game.
75 seconds all it took him. And then, of course, Justin Herbert is now your runaway offensive rookie of the year with the Burrow injury.
Yep.
And then Tomlin, as long as they don't lose a game, he's got to be the coach of the year. And with apologies to someone like Brian Flores, like Tomlin's got to be that.
I think yesterday Tomlin secured it. They could even probably lose a game or two, and he'll still probably
Well, I don't know if he secured it, right? If they lose a game or two, maybe it's a different story. But he's certainly, again, the leader in the clubhouse, I would think. Chrissy, you agree with any of that or disagree with any of that?
No, I agree with it. You know, it's funny. I was having a conversation with some of my friends about Tomlin. You know, I'm not sure he'd be a great offensive coordinator or a great defensive coordinator, but he's the kind of guy, he brings out the best in everybody, including his coaches. And, you know, we're saying, just look at Le'Veon Bell, look at Antonio Brown, look at all the stuff he's done. I mean, he knows how to get these guys all on the same page. And like I said, doing their very, very best. And as, you know, a coach or, you know, a manager, you know, whatever kind of position of leadership that you're in, that's really the main thing. And like I said, would he be a great coordinator? I kind of think he wouldn't be, you know, but in the position where he's at, he knows how to get the best out of these guys. And, you know, for a long time, you know, the public regard of him as a coach has been kind of up and down, because he definitely needs to work on some clock management at times. But this guy's a hell of a coach. And I don't want to say he's secured it or it's a slam dunk. But, yeah, he's the leader right now for coach of the year. I think there's very little doubt.
Yeah. You don't lose. That's probably a pretty logical thing to say.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do one more here.
Oh, up next, we got the Browns at the Jaguars.
Browns at the Jaguars. Well, that's not that pretty of a game. 7-3 Browns, though. 1-9 Jaguars. Yeah. Baker Mayfield yesterday, again, just a very ho-hum, not impressive line. 12 of 22 for 204. No touchdowns, no picks. Sacked three times. Nick Chubb, 24. I lost a digit there, so over 100 yards for Nick Chubb. Kareem Hunt, 13 carries for 11 yards and a touchdown. By the way, Chubb was 20 for 114, just to be exact. Hunt was 13 for 11 and a touchdown. But the Browns were +2 in turnovers in their win yesterday. Browns beat the Eagles 22-17 inclement weather once again in Cleveland. +2 in turnovers. Olivier Vernon made up for Myles Garrett's absence due to COVID-19 by getting 3 sacks and a safety. Cleveland also, first score of the game was a 50-yard pick 6 in the first half by second-year linebacker Sione Takitaki. Denzel Ward on the hit of Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz didn't feel it coming. Denzel Ward hit him, and he threw up a duck, and it was 7-0 Browns. And then Jacksonville, as we mentioned, loses to the Steelers. Jake Luton, 16 for 37 for 151, no touchdowns, 4 picks, and 2 sacks. Terrell Edmonds and Minkah Fitzpatrick responsible for 2 interceptions each. Only 206 total yards for the Jags. They were -3 in turnovers against the Steelers, as we mentioned. Jaguars now 41-100 in Shad Khan's 9-year tenure, for those who keep track of such things. By the way, here's that. Can we throw that tweet up about people who bet the Eagles yesterday? This is the most appropriate tweet of the day. This is from Al D, Domeka99. I will never bet the Eagles again. 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 I didn't bet the Eagles, but that's how everybody should feel.
Hold to it, yeah.
Yeah, because on paper, it's just like, you got to bet the Eagles here. No, no, you don't. Because within one drive, you're like, I can't believe I bet on this team. So Cleveland goes to 7-3. I mean, the Browns are 7-3, Chris. I would imagine
they're in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, I don't buy it. I think they're going to be a serious fade here at some point. I don't know if it's against the Jaguars though. So I put it in no man's land. I said Cleveland -5.5 at Jacksonville.
You're way light. It's 6.5. I see some sevens with juice on the dog.
I don't know.
I'm going to open at 7. Not for any great reason for the Jaguars, but 41-100. Remember, for years we talked about how they took away your wise guy card if you didn't bet on the Jaguars every week.
Yes.
Well, it's you know, here they are again. It's just a poorly run franchise. Now Cleveland, you know, it's one of those things I mentioned on this show before. Every one of these young quarterbacks that come into the league, I'm rooting for every one of them. I'm not every week, obviously, because I need the other side half the time. But I want the league to prosper. And I'd like to see Baker Mayfield just be a little bit better. But that being said, I do think they have a good roster and a really good coach. And that means a lot. And I think that's going to do wonders for Mayfield, hopefully. But, you know, a couple of his bad games were in some really bad weather, like yesterday and I think the week before. So I'm still holding out hope for Mayfield. By the way, my power ratings come to 8 on this game, and I don't think I have the Browns that highly rated. Just the Jaguars are turning into what we thought they would be at the beginning of the season, which is the worst team in the NFL. Now, they have the Jets to thank for them not being regarded as such. But, you know, Luton doesn't look like the answer, and I'm not sure what the answer is with this team. But, boy, you know, I know a lot of people are saying Trevor Lawrence sure doesn't want to get drafted by the Jets. Well, I don't think getting drafted by Jacksonville would do them any good either. So, you know, I just think it's a bad, bad team, bad franchise, bad everything. I'm going to open 7 and see where they go from there, because I want no part of the Jaguars.
I don't know. If you give it the full 7, I might like Jacksonville here. Although with the Browns, you don't really know if it's the weather that was sort of muting their performances the last few weeks. Or if the weather helped. I mean, I don't know. By the way, Shad Khan, 41-100 as an owner. That ties former Saints owner John Meacham Jr. as the second fastest to reach 100 losses in an owner's tenureship. The worst of all time. Any guesses, Chris? Trivia? Owner trivia.
Worst of all time. Jeez.
Quickest to 100 losses.
Whoever owned Tampa Bay.
There you go. Hugh Culverhouse. Yeah. That's exactly right. All right, let's squeeze in one more here before the top of the hour. One more.
Panthers at the Vikings.
Panthers at the Vikings. I don't want to say this out loud, but is P.J. Walker better than Teddy Bridgewater? P.J. Walker, 24 of 34. Oh, he says no quickly. P.J. Walker, 24 of 34 for 258 yesterday. One touchdown, 2 picks. He was sacked once. The guy who led the XFL, the last iteration of the XFL, in passing yards and touchdowns, P.J. Walker out of Temple. Both of his picks, though, were in the red zone. That was not good. Made the was made starter less than 2 hours before kickoff when Teddy Bear was officially ruled out with a knee injury. Panthers played without 5 starters, including Bridgewater. Also, Christian McCaffrey, left tackle Russell Okung, right guard John Miller, and cornerback Dante Jackson. DJ Moore was P.J. Walker's number one target, 7 for 127. Carolina's defense earned its first shutout since 2015 when they beat the Lions once again 20-0 yesterday to snap a 5-game losing streak. At Minnesota, you said? Minnesota, Cousins.
Yes.
In their loss to the Cowboys, 22 of 30 for 314, 3 touchdowns, no picks, sacked twice. Dalvin, 27 for 115 and a touchdown. Thielen, 8 for 123 and 2 touchdowns. Jefferson, 3 for 86 and a touchdown. How did they lose with all those numbers?
That catch by CeeDee Lamb was one of the best catches I've seen
beautiful
of
catch.
The year.
Cowboys beat the Vikings again, 31-28, which knocked out a whole bunch of survivors. Man, that was my – I was pumped. Minnesota minus 3.5, I guess. Give them a hook. Minus 3.5, Minnesota.
Who do you have penciled in as quarterback?
I had Teddy Bridgewater penciled in as quarterback.
You have Teddy. Okay. I think if Teddy plays, I got it 3. Because I think McCaffrey's got a good shot of coming back, too. So with McCaffrey and Teddy, I got the Vikings streak. Without Teddy, so not letting McCaffrey influence me. Without Teddy, I got the Vikings 6. So that's why I was very quick to jump in. No, P.J. Hard, whatever that was named, is not better than Teddy Bridgewater. He's just not. Just look at all the numbers. I mean, he was gifted. Great field position, zero pressure, blah, 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 the whole game. So, no, I'm not that impressed with him. I am impressed with their coach. I think their coach has done a hell of a job. And, you know, I've been a big Teddy guy all the way. I see this number a little bit of 4, but mostly 4.5. I see it off the board in a lot of places. I'm not putting this up because I think there's a big difference between Bridgewater and what's his name? P.J. Harvey? Is that
P.J. Walker. Yes. P.J. Walker. Yes.
It's P.J. Harvey. P.J. Harvey is somebody. I think it's Singer or something. I don't know. But I'm better than Jimmy, I can tell you that with his name.
P.J. Harvey apparently is a singer. Yes, singer-songwriter, apparently.
Okay.
I'm learning something.
90s singer. She had like 1 or 2 songs in the early 90s.
Okay. What did you say you think it would be with Bridgewater? What did you think you would put it at? Or with P.J.? How much?
3.
No, but with PJ, how much would you put?
Six with PJ.
Okay.
So I have a 3-point difference.
We'll come back. Yeah, we got to go to break. We'll finish that thought. More Guessing Lines and a Survivor update for real right here on Guessing Lines. Hour number two of a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling and Game Plus. What's a little Dennis the Menace thing I got going up here? You see this one straight in here, up there? All right, let's get that. A little housekeeping. It is Gil Alexander. Jason Kahn is here as well. Jason, you mentioned here on the break, a little scheduling quirk, that you said Carolina's playing, it's what game here?
11th game. They have not had a bye.
They've already played 11.
Yeah.
And Tampa Bay plays their 11th tonight. So those are the only two teams that have a bye left, then, in other words.
Yep, it's interesting.
Rams at Tampa Bay tonight, by the way. Tampa Bay anywhere between a 4 and a 4.5 point favorite tonight, depending on what shop you're at. Should be a good game tonight, at least on paper. Again, the quirky stat about the Rams tonight, 8 of their 9 second halves this season, the Rams defense has given up a maximum of 3 points.
I really like the under in this game tonight.
It's an incredible stat.
Yeah. It's this new coordinator. They brought in a new coordinator this year. He's doing really good work.
Well, the Rams known for defense, right? Like this year.
Yeah.
Sean McVay, obviously, was, remember when that game against Kansas City where they scored every, like, it was like 50 something.
It's going to change football.
And now they're known for their defense. Bucks, 4.5 point favorites again tonight, hosting the Rams for Monday Night Football. All right, Chrissy. Chris Andrews is here, of course, ladies and gentlemen, who are just tuning in right now, the director of the sportsbook here, the South Point Hotel Casino, my mishpucha. You were saying you want to say one more thing about Carolina?
Oh, I'm just saying I'm not going to put the game up on the board until I find out who's playing quarterback.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
So okay. A lot of guys have it off. A lot of guys have it up. It's 4.5. A little bit of 4 if people have it up. But I'm just going to wait. I think there's too much of a distance.
Okay. We're halfway through the slate, a full slate of games in Week 12. I got a lot to say about one game coming up, so I think we're going to hit it in this segment. But what's next?
The Titans at the Colts.
That's the one. It's like the weird thing is I'll get to the Colts here because the Colts is where it's funny with the Colts. Last week I did the whole autopsy on the 3rd-and-1s and 4th-and-1s where there were 8 different short yardage situations on 3rd and 4th down for the Colts on Thursday night, and Phillip Rivers wouldn't do any of them. On the 8th, they came in with the pinch sneak and Jacoby Brissett. Today, I got another thing for them. But Titans, first of all, as we talked about, beat the Ravens in overtime, 30-24. 6th win this season by 7 points or fewer for Tennessee. So they're 7-3, 6 of the 7 by 7 points or fewer. Ryan Tannehill, 22 of 31 for 259, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, sacked twice. Derrick Henry, 28 for 133 and a touchdown. Again, heading into the fourth quarter yesterday, Henry only had 44 yards on 18 carries. The Titans trailed 21-13. He finished with 133 on 28 carries, his 6th 100-yard game of the season. Also put him over 1,000 yards for the 3rd consecutive year, by the way. Rambled for 195 yards, as you may recall, to carry the Titans to a 28-12 upset of the top-seeded Ravens in the AFC Divisional Playoff back in January. Corey Davis was Tannehill's best target yesterday, or biggest target, 5 for 113. So Tennessee goes to 7-3, tied atop the AFC South with their opponent, the Indianapolis Colts, who beat the Green Bay Packers yesterday in overtime, the only other overtime game, 34-31. In a game that the Packers led 28-14 at the half. And for those of us who had the Packers, we were feeling oh so good about it. But Indianapolis erased the 14-point halftime deficit, failed to seal the win because of 5 holding calls on its final drive in regulation. I want to get into that in a minute. But Green Bay won the coin toss in overtime after Rodgers had the game-tying field goal drive at the end of regulation, won the coin toss. But then Valdez-Scantling, who had the big catch on that final regulation drive, he lost a fumble when he was hit by Julian Blackman on Green Bay's second play of overtime. DeForest Buckner recovers 4 plays later. Rodrigo Blankenship through the uprights. 39-yarder, 7-10 remaining in OT. Winner, winner, chicken dinner for the Colts. Phillip Rivers, 24 for 36 for 288, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked once. 420 total yards of offense for the Colts. They did have 8 penalties for 116 yards. But it was those 2 turnovers plus 2 Four turnovers for the Packers, two for the Colts in this game. But that plus two was huge, including the turnover on the ensuing kickoff after the Colts had come all the way back to tie the game at 28. So that was the big deal. And before we get into this, let me just remind folks once again that this is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo Slinging Game Plus, Skill Alexander, it's Chris Andrews. Guessing lines for Week 12 in the NFL, it's our Monday ritual where we try to extract value from our first look at the upcoming weekend's lines. But that last sequence, let me just say, so the Colts thing, when they beat the Titans two games ago, they just, Phillip Rivers finally came out of the sneak closet where it was clearly apparent that, okay, it's got to be in his contract or something. He doesn't sneak. It's what I've been saying on this show for years and on the podcast for years. He doesn't sneak. And that's going to matter in a key high leverage moment in some postseason game. Well, last night, or yesterday rather, the Colts could have put this game away in regulation, and it was the weirdest sequence. Again, five holding penalties down the stretch. I have them all listed in script, but I don't really have to go through them. But from the 2:17 mark, 2:17 left in the game, and the Packers had three timeouts at their disposal at this point in the game, and all Indianapolis had to do was just sort of, you know, make them use their timeouts, kick a field goal, game was over. But they kept holding. There were five offensive holdings, and the Packers didn't have to use any of their timeouts. So finally, they converted a 4th-and-4 right under the two-minute warning, and then the Packers finally had to use the first timeout, and they still kept holding and holding again. And so what ended up happening is that they ended up with a 2nd-and-30 and a 3rd-and-26. Phillip Rivers ends up throwing they end up punting. Remember, there was an earlier play where Phillip Rivers looked like he might have fumbled, and it went the other way. But it was a correct call that was incompletion. But they end up punting, up three in the end, and Green Bay had only used two timeouts, and so they gave the Packers life where they shouldn't have been. And it was just this weirdest sequence at the end of that game, and so you just wonder again: the Colts, even in victory, 2 weeks in a row now, even in victory, it could have been so much easier both times. Just wonder about this team. All I had to say, the Colts are probably a 3-point favorite here.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I like your number better. It's 3.5. Boy, I don't know. My numbers came to 2.5. Boy, I don't know. Three and a half just seems too. I mean, they beat this team 2 weeks ago, and I know guys for many, many years, and I'm not sure this holds up anymore. But they would always bet against the team that won the first matchup in these divisional games. And like I said, I'm not sure that holds up, and I don't have any numbers to prove one way or the other. But it seems to me, like you're saying, I think the Colts manage either to win games with much more difficulty than they should have, and the Titans manage to win a lot of these close games. And I like the Titans in this spot, plus the 3.5. I think that's way too high. Like I said, my numbers come to 2.5, and as I was making my numbers last night, I just can't get the 3 with this game. I just couldn't do it. You know, and here they are, they open 3.5. I'm going to put a mark next to Tennessee for me.
Yeah, if you're giving me the hook, I'm taking the Titans. I think that's the second one I like a lot. And again, Colts fans and Colts backers are going to say, hey, Gil, they won both games, so stop talking about the Colts. But
they did.
But they did. But like really, literally from the 217 mark to the 125 mark in regulation, I mean, it's offensive holding enforced, offensive holding declined, illegal motion declined. Hold on, there's more. Offensive holding. Let's see, another one. Offensive holding declined. On and on and on. It's just like the Green Bay was like, we don't have to use any of these timeouts because the clock keeps stopping. It was incredible to watch it. I got so many tweets after the game like, what did I just see? I was like, I don't know, dude. I don't know. But Indianapolis somehow manages the win. And good for them, by the way. Green Bay in the second half of that game, and we'll get to them momentarily. But Green Bay in the second half of that game, 3 points, two turnovers on 6 drives in the second half in overtime. So utter domination by that Colts D, despite the shenanigans from the offense. All right. I think I like Tennessee. If you're giving me the hook, plus 3.5, I'll take Tennessee. What's next?
The Chargers at the Bills.
Chargers, survivor, got it done for me. They beat the Jets. They beat the Jets. By the way, they only beat them 34-28. It should be pointed out. The Chargers punter, Ty Long. So there's seconds left in the game, and it's 34-26. By the way, the Chargers had to already withstand a drive from the Jets at the end of this game. The Chargers were crushing the Jets in this game. And somehow, so I started losing attention and going to every other game. And I'm like, okay, I got the survivor pick. And then every now and again, I would glance over. I'd be like, Anthony Lynn can't blow this, can he? And so then the Jets had a potential game tying drive if they'd gotten a touchdown and a 2. The Chargers were able to stop them. But then with seconds left in the game, I think there was 7 seconds left or 8 seconds left. The Chargers were up 34-26. They had a 4th down. And so Ty Long, their punter, was instructed, all right, you know, just run back, take a safety, we'll be good. But apparently no one told Ty Long, take all the time. And he left a second on the clock. Like, you could have run around a little and taken this. So there was a second. So the Chargers had to actually withstand a final punt return up 6 to the Jets. And by the way, the Jets, in all their ineptitude, didn't even get one lateral out of it. It was ridiculous. But the Chargers win. And Justin Herbert, your offensive rookie of the year for sure. 37-49, 366, 3 touchdowns, no picks, 3 times sacked. Begging the question, what was Oregon doing with this guy?
He's the best young quarterback, I think. Most impactful of all the young quarterbacks, I think. He's a star.
But like, how do you manage to just be like kind of a meh team? Yeah, I get it. They were close to the top of the Pac-12, but you know what I mean.
In a bad offensive system, people were saying that he would probably come out of his shell a little bit when he came to the pros.
Mario Cristobal, the answer to that question. Keenan Allen, 16 catches, franchise record for 145 and a touchdown. He was targeted 19 times. First receiver in NFL history to have 6 games of 13 catches or more, Keenan Allen. The Chargers were 9-15 on third down, and their 34-28 win over the Jets. 29 rushing yards, though. That's it. Didn't need him. 36-28 time of possession advantage over the Jets, 23-32. They're at Buffalo. Buffalo had a bye. Buffalo 7-3, 1 game lead now in the AFC East over Miami. I'll say Buffalo, no man's land, 5.5 over the Chargers.
Ah, you're dead on. It's 5.5. My power ratings come to 5, so I have no beef with the 5.5 at all. I think that's a good number for a Buffalo team that wins doesn't always cover, but you know, probably a little better offensively than we thought they would be at the beginning of the season. And Chargers, they keep everything close, and then
they do
usually blow it in the end, you know. And they They did all they could to blow last night's game, too. I can tell you that because I needed the Chargers myself. But, I think 5.5 is a good number, and that's what I'm going to open.
Did you lose any of your four survivors, Chris?
I thought we weren't going to talk about that.
Oh, that's
but,
right.
Yes, sorry. I did. Sorry. I lost one. I lost one.
That's right. I forgot. We weren't going to talk about it. I forgot. I apologize. I got the Chargers. That's for sure. And so Survivor, I'm excited by that. But yes, it got harrowing at the end of that.
The Chargers look good on a tease, I like.
As Aaron, a tease here? By the way, the reason it's 5.5,
two.
The reason I guess 5.5, because if it was 4.5, everybody would bet the Bills. And if it was 6, I think everybody would kind of say, well, the Chargers crowd, you know, they always keep these games close. And they do, as Aaron Schatz, as Aaron Schatz said from Football Outsiders a couple weeks ago, they are the most consistent team through his prism of DVOA. They are the most consistent team in the NFL from week to week. They always show up. Always. They never lay an egg. They manage to mess it up, as you say, at the end of games, but they always show up. All right, what's next?
Next up, the Dolphins at the Jets.
Dolphins at the Jets. This was interesting yesterday because the Dolphins went into Denver. A lot of people loved the Dolphins yesterday, and they were pretty much, I mean, I don't want to use the word dominated, but they were never really a threat to win this game. Not really in the second part of this game. They lose to the Broncos 20-13. They lose as 4-point closing favorites. Their 5-game winning streak snapped. Tua was 11 for 20 for 83 yards, one touchdown, no picks. He was sacked 6 times. So remember, Matt Ryan was sacked 8 times by the Saints, but Tua was sacked 6 times by the Broncos. And then Ryan Fitzpatrick came in the fourth quarter. He was 12 of 18 for 117. No touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked 0 times. And you really got the sense at that point, oh, maybe the Dolphins have a shot here with Fitzpatrick. But Tua was taken out in the fourth, and a lot of people were asking, was he taken out because of the 6 sacks? And because on that last sack, his leg was bent pretty badly, had to sort of limp off the field. Was he taken out because of injury or because Brian Flores made the coach's decision? And Flores said after the game had nothing to do with the injury, that it was a coach's decision. At least that's what he said. So for him to go out and say that, that's interesting. But his left leg was bent awkwardly on the final sack by Bradley Chubb. Tua, that is. 222 total yards. That's it for the Dolphins. Just 56 rushing. Justin Simmons intercepted Ryan Fitzpatrick pass in the end zone with 63 seconds left. That sealed the deal for the Broncos, 20-13. And the Jets, against the Chargers in that loss, that 6-point loss, Joe Flacco was 15 of 30 for 205, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked once. New York drove to the Chargers 32 with under a minute remaining, as I was mentioning, before turning over the ball on downs. And the Jets now off to the worst start in franchise history. By the way, that was after the that was before the safety shenanigans. The Jets off to the worst start in franchise history. 21st team since the merger to begin a season 0-10. First team eliminated from postseason consideration. So those of you who were still holding out hope for your Jets to make the playoffs tickets, sorry, it's over. I'll say Miami -7.5 at the Jets.
Yeah, again, I like your number better. It's 6.5 or 7. Juice either way. 6.5 juice on a favorite, 7 juice on a dog. I'm opening 7 flat. You know, my power ratings come to a lot higher, but once again, diminishing returns on the favorite. Just couldn't make it as high as my power ratings come to. I got the Jets really at the bottom of the barrel. They played hard yesterday. They looked, you know, as good as they could possibly look, I guess, for this team. But, you know, the Dolphins, I think, after laying an egg, I think they come back strong. And by the way, Flores already announced that it will be Tua as his starting quarterback this week, so that there's no dissension there or anything like that. I like the Dolphins. I don't know if I want to lay the 7 on the road, but gun to my head, I would certainly pick the Dolphins.
I'm surprised. The reason I said 7.5 is because
a good teaser. Yeah.
Yeah, if it was 7, I would have thought everybody would have bet the Dolphins at that point. Dolphins feel like a good teaser play.
Dolphins,
sure.
Chargers, solid teaser legs.
Technically, not your old Stanford Wonkas on the road, but
neither
yes.
of them, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's do one more, Chrissy.
Saints at the Broncos.
Saints at the Broncos. Okay. it's time for Young Gill to issue an apology. You ready for this? Taysom Hill, I apologize for everything I've ever said to you or about you. Saints 6-0 now without Drew Brees since the start of last season. 6-0. Taysom Hill yesterday, 18 of 23 for 233.
Sean Payton, coach of the year.
Stop it. 18 of 23 for 233. No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked three times. 10 carries for 51 yards, two touchdowns. Did have one fumble lost. It's his first NFL start at quarterback. That was his first start ever. He had 46 previous games before finally getting his first start under center. Entered having thrown, this is interesting. I don't know if people really sort of got this. Taysom Hill entered the game having thrown just five passes with four completions for 86 yards this season. And lifetime was 10 of 18 for 205 career. Drew Brees sidelined at least three games, beginning with yesterday's games. With,
at least three games.
With what they called multiple rib fractures. And then yesterday we found out it was 11. Oh. 11.
How many?
Listen, a little anatomical study will tell you. I believe we have 12 pairs of ribs. So that's a half a rack right there almost.
My goodness, that's a lot of ribs.
Jeez. Sean Payton gave Hill the nod over Jameis Winston, as we know. Michael Thomas, hey, welcome back. 9 for 104. Had 10 touches all year before yesterday. And the Saints had 168 rushing yards, led by Hill. And then there's Denver, who we just talked about, beating the Dolphins. Drew Lock, 18 of 30 for 270. No touchdowns. One pick, sacked zero times. Melvin Gordon, 15 for 84. Two touchdowns. Patrick, 5 for 119. But a lot of that 119 was on that last just throw up in the air by Lock. But a 459 to 222 total yards advantage over the Dolphins. That's the thing, going back to Tua for a second, Chris. That's the thing with this little like Tua mini era so far. It's all been marked by defensive help. Like the Dolphins defense has helped out in every situation. And again, only 83 yards passing for him yesterday. Back to this game, New Orleans at Denver. New Orleans minus six, I'll say, gingerly.
Yeah, I see five and a half and six. I like the six better. I got to tell you, going into yesterday, I had lowered my power rating on the Saints 3 points. You know, because we've seen Hill, but not the starting quarterback role. But really did think with Sean Payton as the coach. First of all, you figure he made the right decision watching these guys in practice all week. And he is a great coach. There's no doubt, especially offensively, no doubt about it. I don't have him 2 points worse anymore. I got him only 1 point worse. Naturally, we have to see a little more out of Hill before we crown him the next Steve Young, which I've heard some guys say. But I like six better. My power range actually come a little higher, more like, I hate to say it, like nine. But, Broncos look good, particularly on defense yesterday. But I think six, good number, good place to start.
Yeah. And by the way, I don't really take back what I said about Sean Payton throwing Taysom Hill in as a changeup when Drew Brees was playing, because that was always annoying to me. And I always felt it was overblown in terms of what it does to Saints drives. But what I was impressed by with Hill yesterday was 18 for 23. That is what the question mark was, and he was very accurate yesterday. So 18 of 23 for Taysom Hill. Not a bad start to the non-Drew Brees games here. Coming back, we got more guessing lines right here in the Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're guessing lines for Week 12 in the NFL. It's Gil Alexander. Chris Andrews is here as well. By the way, Chris, a prediction. Do you think Sisolak will go from 25% to 12.5% next time when he does this, when he pairs it back? That's 6.25.
Stop.
Okay, I'm sorry. Just wanted to point that out. Just watching TV. Just distracted. All right, let's do two more games here before the primetime games.
49ers at the Rams.
By the way, do I have that right? If my math is correct, we have four games left. 49ers at the Rams.
Boop-a-doop-boop. Yeah. You're right.
The Rams haven't played and the 49ers didn't play. So I don't have much to add to this other than, again, the Rams are at the Bucks tonight. Bucks are 4 or 4.5 point favorites, depending on where you're shopping. And the Rams defense, as I mentioned, 8 of 9 second halves this season have given up a maximum of 3 points, the defense. So that's impressive. But I will say sight unseen with the Rams tonight, they will be about 6 point favorites, I'm guessing, against the Niners. Just a guess.
Six and a half and seven. I like the higher number. My ratings came to nine. I was talking to Matt Humans, who you were just talking about. By the way, I'm so glad Deason has him. He's one of our best writers and a very sharp handicapper.
Absolutely.
He is. Yeah, he really is. But we were talking about this Rams defense, and I am just really impressed with this defense. This is a really good team, and just such a lost season for the 49ers. So, like I said, I see 6.5 and 7, mostly 6.5, but I'm going to open 7. If they want to give me a bet, I will gladly take that. I don't see the Niners putting up too many points against this team.
Just so hard with the Niners, right? A mash unit. 4-6 on the season, no fault of their own. You know, who knows what you get with them from week to week. They're just trying to piece it together and get through it all. But we do know no Kittle, no Thomas, no Bosa, as they have been for the latter two guys for the whole season pretty much. And it will be Nick Mullins again at quarterback. All right, what's next?
No Garoppolo.
So 7 you're putting up?
Is Chief, that 7. I'm opening 7.
Okay.
Chiefs at the Bucks.
Bucks, again, who have not played yet. They play tonight against the Rams. Yeah. Chiefs, as we mentioned yesterday, Chiefs now 9-1. So as long as they're winning games, the pressure is still on the Steelers to win football games in the AFC. Remember, only one bye, only one team gets a bye in this expanded playoffs. That is, unless the contingency plan ever goes into effect. If COVID still wreaks havoc between now and the end of the year, in that case, nobody would get a bye, and we'd add another team. Per conference. But as is the case now, only one team gets a bye. Chiefs beat the Raiders, as we mentioned earlier, 35-31 yesterday. They do not cover as 8-point closing favorites. Patrick Mahomes, 34-45, 348, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. Only his second pick of the year. Wasn't sacked. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 14-69, 2 touchdowns. Kelce, 8-127 and a touchdown. Tyreek, 11-102 and a touchdown. 36 first downs for the Chiefs.
Wow.
Ties a franchise record.
You know that was possible.
460 total yards. They did have 10 penalties for 89. Andy Reid now, you said this last week all the time, Jason. Andy Reid after a bye is a thing.
I think he's 18-3 now or 19-3 now.
19-3 now. 19-3 after a bye, straight up we're talking, since 1990. I would imagine the Chiefs will be 4-point favorites at Tampa Bay. I think it'll be over 3. That's my guess.
I like your number better, Gil. My power ratings come to a 4. It's only 3.
Hmm.
3 to me is a one-way number. I wouldn't want to take Tampa plus a 3. I keep going back mentally to that New Orleans game against Tampa where they just thoroughly, thoroughly dominated this team. And I have I know everybody's ready to have the Bucs in the upper echelon of the NFL. I'm just not quite so sold on them. And I kind of like the Rams tonight. I know it's getting up there, but like I said, I love their defense. I think the Bucs might be vulnerable to that. But my ratings come to 4. I still think, listen, the Chiefs, I think they ran into a bit of a buzzsaw last night. I think the Raiders are very underrated and a good, good team. And they had trouble winning. They did pull it out. But I think 3 is a little light. Like I said, to me, 3 is a one-way number. I'll open 3 because I don't like to mess around too much with that because we do everything at 11-10 and I can get myself in trouble if I go to 3.5. So I'll open 3. You know, we'll take the game down, kickoff tonight. But at this point in time, I like the higher number. I like it higher than 3, but I don't see anything higher than that at all right now. Not even juice or anything like that.
Let me ask you a question. Do you get the sense from the Raiders last night? I think you're right, underrated. But do they match up particularly well with the Chiefs? Is there something about the Raiders that they just play the Chiefs well? And then, you know, because I was, again, not to make everything about Survivor, but was going through all the games that I've gotten by in Survivor this year. And, like, one of the by far easiest was the Patriots beating the Raiders. Like, of all things, you look back, you're like, how was that easy? So it's just, and they didn't have, right? They didn't practice on defense. Maybe that was a good thing. Who knows, going into yesterday's game. But do you think it's a matchup thing with the Raiders, or do you think they're just good, period?
Well, I think the matchup certainly helps because, listen, they beat them once, and then they covered yesterday and easily could have won. I don't want to say easily. It's never easy when you're facing Mahomes. But they could have won that game, certainly. So you have a point there. But I'll tell you what, I really think with the Raiders – You know, it took Derek Carr a while, and we don't get to see that too much in the NFL anymore.
Right.
You'd see it like when I was young through the 70s. I mean, go back and look at Terry Bradshaw's first 2 years. I mean, he compared him to Ryan Leaf. They're almost identical. I don't know if we would have a chance to see that out of a quarterback again. We probably would at certain times, you know, of course. But Derek Carr is just one of those guys. He's gotten better and better and better. And, you know, I'm not sure he's in the MVP race, you know. Sorry, Jason.
He's definitely been great.
He's playing at a really high level. He's playing at a high level. He's come into his own. He's a very legitimate top quarterback in this league. I think that's what makes the Raiders so good.
Got to step in and take a break. And like I said, a couple drops as well. Could have been better. We'll come back. We'll finish it up. Guessing Lines, Week 12, right here on a Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. All right, let's go to the primetime games. I think that's all we have left Sunday night.
Yeah. Okay, Bears at the Packers.
I should say, not if your rules are stupid, but if they're vague and you misapply them. That's what I meant to say. What was it again? I'm sorry. What was that, Chrissy? I just had a thought. Bears at Packers? Okay.
Bears at the Packers, yeah.
All right, Bears didn't play, so the Bears are 5-5. Packers, as we mentioned, lose that game to the Colts, and we went through the whole holding call stuff. I could do it play by play. I wrote them all down, but I don't want to bore you. But just a holding fest for the Colts at the end of regulation kept the Packers in it. Colts still prevailed in overtime. Green Bay, 3 points, 2 turnovers on 6 drives and second half in overtime yesterday. Jeez. Aaron Rodgers was 27 of 38 for 311, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked once. Devontae, 7 for 106 and a touchdown. The Packers only ran 18 plays over the final 33 minutes. That's it. They had 4 turnovers. Yeah, 4 turnovers. Before that, in their first 9 games, they had an NFC low 5 turnovers total. Had 4 turnovers in this one game. And they were -2 in turnovers here. 4 for them, 2 for the Colts. And usually that's all you need to know. And again, 2 of those, huge for the Packers. 1, that fumble on the kickoff after the Colts had tied the game after they had erased the 14-point deficit. Fumble on the ensuing kickoff. It allowed the Colts to go up in the game thereafter. And then, of course, in overtime, the big turnover on the second play that the Packers ran. Valdez-Scantling, who had that great play in the final drive of regulation when they were backed up and Rodgers just heaved it and he came down with it right around midfield. But I'll say the Packers, this is Chicago at Green Bay. A lot of people are going to like Green Bay and Survivor if they're lucky enough to get past Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
They're going to like the Packers here. I'll say Green Bay -7.
Yeah, it's 7.5 and 8. You know, we still got questions about the Chicago quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, Foles or Trubisky, not that there's any difference between the two of them point spread wise. To me, there is not. But I'm not sure either one of them is healthy. And who else do they have? They got, I can't remember the other guy they have. Some guy I'd heard of, but hasn't played a whole lot. So I like the 7.5, and I see 7.5 and 8. You know, I'm just debating. Is this a good spot for Green Bay coming off a loss where they should have won? You know, the 4 turnovers, probably an aberration. You know, the Bears defense has been, you know, pretty darn good, but they still give up in the mid-20s almost every week. I think Rodgers could probably outdo that. And I'm not sure the Bears are going to be able to put too much on the board themselves. So I think I'm going to open 8 just because I think the public will be on it. Like I said, even though my power ratings come a little lower, just worried about the quarterback situation for Chicago. And see how the things work out this week. I think it might be a good spot for the Packers.
Yeah, Foles not seriously injured when he was carted off the field the other night. No, in the end, no serious injury. Okay. Mm-hmm. Monday night.
Seahawks at the Eagles.
Seahawks at the Eagles. Seahawks coming off a bye. Oh, excuse me, not a bye. Extra rest. They beat the Cardinals on Thursday night, pardon me, by a touchdown. And then there's the Eagles, which we'll get to here momentarily. Russell Wilson in that game against the Cardinals, 23 of 28 for 197. 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 3 times. Remember, he had committed 10 turnovers in the previous 4 games combined. Seahawks had 165 yards rushing in that game against the Cardinals. By the way, their 4 upcoming games are against teams with a combined 8-28-1 record. So the Seahawks, who after tonight could either be in the lead or tied for the lead in the NFC West, next four games playing teams with a combined 8-28-1 record, setting up nicely for the Seahawks. And then there's the Eagles, who we talked about earlier in their game against the Browns. The Eagles are the proverbial team that as they run up, as in the run up to the game that they play, you're like, oh, I'm playing the Eagles here. I've got to play the Eagles. This clearly points to the Eagles. And then a drive into the game, you're like, why did I bet on this team? Not that I bet on them. Carson Wentz, 21 for 35, 235, two touchdowns, two picks. He was sacked five times. He has now been sacked a league-leading 40 times. 40. The Eagles were 2 for 12 on third down. They were 2 for 2 on fourth. But they were minus 2 in turnovers. And as I mentioned, that first touchdown for the Browns, the first points in the game, was that pick six where Denzel Ward smacked Carson Wentz, didn't feel him coming. Ball went up in the air, talkie-talkie to the house. Starting center Jason Kelce hurt his elbow in the first half. His loss forced the Eagles to turn to undrafted rookie Luke Jarriga, 12th lineman used this season for the Eagles. Kelce played the second half in a large brace. And then Lane Johnson, this just in, hurt his shoulder in the second half. Lane Johnson always in and out of the lineup. So Seattle's got to be a favorite here, and I'll say by four, more than a field goal, at Philly.
My numbers came to 7. But your number's a little closer. It's 5.
7,
actually,
said,
last
wow.
night it was 5.5. You know, last night there's mostly 5.5s, and they're gone. So somebody actually, there was a little bit of a move on the Eagles. But I'm with you, I put this out last week, and I think I even said it on your show. Paul Hembekides, who is one of my countrymen and a producer at ESPN, he posted this, and we follow each other on Twitter, but he posted how many games quarterbacks were under 50 in their QBR. Of course, 50 is just an even, an average number. And going into last week, I forget what Wentz was last week. He had the most in the league with 6. Now, yesterday's QBR was 20.2. I mean, just horrible. We have got to quit making excuses for Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
We're always making excuses for this guy. And, a couple years ago, he was probably going to be the MVP if he didn't get hurt. And I understand that. But maybe that injury took a lot out of him. Or maybe this guy's figured him out. Or, whatever, but we can't keep making excuses for him. I'm going to open 5 just because I even see some 4.5 showing up. I know the way this works. The wise guys will come in and take the 5, on a home dog. But by Monday night, I'd like to promise you I need Philadelphia. That's just the way it's going to go. But
yeah,
the first wave will come in on Philly. But I'm going to be very nimble in my, as soon as I see this starting to move up, like which it probably will on like Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, something like that, I'm going to be moving this up because I like the Seahawks at 7. And I'm not even that high on the Seahawks. Their defense, their defense is not playing well. And even I'm glad they won against the Cardinals. We needed them and all that. But they didn't look that great to me.
No.
But the Eagles are just, they're heading south, and I look at their next 3 games. They'll be significant dogs in the next 3 games. So if you have a ticket on them to win the division, I know you're in first place now by 0.5. It ain't going to last. Trust me.
Eagles half-game lead once again over the rest of the NFC East. They're 3-6-1. Everybody else is 3-7. And unless the Cowboys and the Washington football team end up in a tie, someone, Washington or Dallas, will take over the lead, at least temporarily, at least until the Monday night game, or Sunday as well with the Giants, but Monday night with the Eagles playing, hosting the Seahawks. I wonder if the Seahawks might be an interesting survivor pick for some who want to go a little contrarian. I'll say it the last time. Thanksgiving's a wing and a prayer. After that, Sunday's difficult.
Dolphins are good.
That's the gauntlet.
You can always still fade the Jets.
If you have the Dolphins available to you, that's obviously the go-to. So in the end, here's what I like, Chrissy. I'll start today.
Okay.
Tennessee, you're telling me they're getting more than 3 at Indianapolis. I'll take Tennessee if I'm getting 3 and a hook.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee's been very, very good to me through the last couple seasons. Arizona at New England. What was the number you were posting on that?
What am I posting? I'm going to post 3. Yeah. But it's higher than that.
Give me the Cardinals.
I'm sorry. I mean, it's lower than that. It's 2.5.
Yeah, give me the Cardinals all day. And then the final one for me would be KC. Yeah. If it's only 3 at Tampa Bay, I'll be KC. How about you?
I favor all those, but I like Pittsburgh, Arizona, Tennessee, and I like Seattle.
Pittsburgh and Seattle. Yeah, I kind of like Seattle. You might talk me into that. Chris Anders, everybody. Chrissy, I thank you as always. An enjoyable 2 hours each and every week. I look forward to it next week as well.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Great talking to you.
And happy Thanksgiving to Chrissy and to all of you. We'll say that many more times between now and Thursday. Good luck with Monday Night Football and everything you're betting from all of us at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.